Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, I'm in. I'm hooked. I'm in on college basketball right now. This Gonzaga Duke game is pretty legit. Thank you. I will now, for the next hour and 58 minutes, act like a college basketball expert. No, I'm just kidding. Ben Carroll's got 20 points for Duke. He's 8 of 15 from the floor, the super freshman. Kind of a tough game so far for Jeremy Roach, just 1 of 10 from the floor, only 4 points for Duke. And Gonzaga drew Timmy in a little bit of foul trouble right now as he just picked up his third foul, 58 all. But listen, we gotta give a tip of the cap, Rich, to what was still one of the wildest finishes that we've seen. I don't want to get too carried away and too dramatic in college football. Maybe this season, because North Carolina State was DOA in their showdown against North Carolina. They were down by a margin that, for the most part, if you're looking with the time that was left on the clock, it was 30-21 with 2:12 to go in the game. I don't know, Rich, you're kind of starting to think about next week, right? And in the case of a North Carolina State, you're probably thinking about your bowl game when you're down 9 with 2:12 to go. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, you know, if you're a team that thinks you can hang around and win a game, you're never out of it, right?
Okay.
I like it. And look, you know, this is a rivalry game, so it doesn't matter. You kind of take the clock out of it, and you just think, look, we got to score fast. Now, if that drive where they ran 3 plays, marched the field, and scored on that 24-yard reception to their big target wide receiver, was it Azima who caught it? Or Amezi, right?
Amezi, yeah.
Then, you know, it's a completely different game, obviously, and the Tar Heels might win it, but they're able to do it, man. And that's the thing. It's belief. Again, that is the strongest component to winning football, is believing you can win. And so the Wolfpack took the field, and they thought they were going to win that game, and I'll be damned they did.
Well, with that in mind, here were the highlights courtesy of the North Carolina State Radio Network. 2:12 to go. Let's remember, after Grayson Atkins hit the 50-yard field goal, which gave North Carolina that 9-point lead with 2:12 to go, they got hit with a personal foul. Excessive celebration. So, decent field position to start, but literally after getting sacked on the first play of the drive, this is what happened to make it a little bit tighter.
The snap. 4-man rush. Leary looking. Throws long up the left side. I got a man open to Messi. 25-20. 10-5. Touchdown, Wolfpack. It's not over yet, folks.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong. Because then you needed to recover the onside kick.
Here comes the kick. It's right up the middle. They scrum for the football. State's got it. Peck's got it. Heels territory at the 49.
Crazy. North Carolina State gets the football back, and, well, you know what's going to happen.
Leary to throw against the blitz. Fires left corner end zone. It's up for grabs. Caught. Touchdown. Touchdown, State. Touchdown, Abezzi. Holy cow. 109 left to go, and the Pack takes the lead.
And then finally, Sam Howell drove him just on the cusp of the red zone. And then this happened to seal the deal.
Here's Howell with 5 seconds to go, back to his 40 to throw. Cocks the arm, fires, left corner end zone. It's up for grabs. It is intercepted by State. Intercepted by Pitts after a deflection, and that's the ball game.
So on a crazy day for college football, North Carolina State has officially eliminated Clemson from the ACC championship game. Now they need Boston College to upset Wake Forest, and North Carolina State will play Pitt in the ACC championship game. And oh, by the way, one other note from college football tonight. Rich, with the win by Washington State in convincing fashion over Wazoo, Wait, did I say that right? Over Washington, right. Washington State beat Washington tonight. If by chance, Oregon State beats Oregon,
mm-hmm.
Washington State will be headed to the Pac-12 championship game. Final tonight in Seattle, 40-13, Washington State won. So the 7-5 Cougars, Coach Free, 6-3 in the Pac-12, could be on their way to the Pac-12 championship game with everything they've gone through this year. That's just crazy.
It is absolutely nuts. But look, I mean, this is the pandemonium that ensues when you have let's put it this way. You have about 5 or 6 teams who stand heads and shoulders above the rest of college football on an annual basis. And then
right.
You have, I wouldn't even call it a tier. You have the rest battle it out. And so I'm excited to see how this season finishes. I also think that we could see, you know, some stuff change at the top. You know, we were talking to Pete Futak about this. I mean, Cincinnati's not guaranteed anything, even if they win out and they win their conference championship, depending on what happens at the end of the season in these Power Five leagues, because a 12-1 team out of the Big Ten with a conference championship, 12-1 team out of the SEC with a conference championship may be considered over an undefeated Bearcats team, and that's going to leave a lot of fans in Ohio very disappointed.
You know, the one thing, too, that is going to be interesting is a lot of people feel, and maybe I'm part of this group at times, oh no, they put Cincinnati in the rankings. They can't possibly pull them out now. Oh, yes, they can, because they've done it before.
Yes.
They did it with TCU in the first rankings. You mentioned they did it to Penn State before. It would not be unprecedented if we get to a week from Sunday, right? Because next Sunday is the selection show. It wouldn't be surprising at all if you get to that Sunday and Alabama played Georgia tight, and suddenly there's a conversation about a 2-loss Bama team, Oklahoma or Oklahoma State, won their next 2 games, and suddenly you're talking about a 12-1 Big 12 champion. You know, Notre Dame annihilates Stanford tomorrow, and suddenly everyone's like, look, Notre Dame's only lost 1 game. There's going to still be some drama, Rich, and I'm telling you right now, Pete said it, and it rings true, I think, through what you and I have said all night long. It's cool that they're in the 4-team playoff rankings right now, number 4. It guarantees nothing
guarantees
for them
nothing.
In 2 weeks. Nothing.
You know what? I'll say this, and this is a take that I don't know if it's been aired out by many others, but I feel strongly about this, and I was talking about this week on my local radio show in San Diego. If you are not a fan of the Bearcats getting yanked out of the postseason, because you feel like an undefeated football season with a conference championship already ranked in the top 4 is deserving of remaining in playoffs. But you want to see college football expansion.
Right.
I would argue that you need to change your mind on Cincinnati being there at the end if there's a team that the committee can make a case for above them. And here's the reason why. Because it makes a better case for expansion. It makes a louder, more desirable case for expansion. Because if you do have a 13-0 Bearcats team on the outside looking in, having done nothing except getting replaced by a 1-loss team, who, whether or not they're deserving to be there, I mean, again, it's all subjective, but you will have the loudest argument to date for expansion. And see, look, as much as I'd love to see fairness, as much as I respect 13-0 with a win over Notre Dame and a conference championship, and I would expect and I would hope that the committee would leave them in the postseason, I also think the fact that if they got leapfrogged, it makes an even better argument for 12 teams or 8 teams or whatever they expanded to, but it just becomes more known and more of a tangible, or I should say a more tangible argument that expansion needs to happen and sooner would be better. Because
I like that.
Yeah. So even if you love fairness and you want to see the Bearcats in, swallow your pride, make the hardest argument you can, and who knows, maybe we get 12 teams next year, as soon as next year.
If, here's what's great, is You and again, I'm when I say things like this, it's not like I'm trying to wear a badge or like hurt my elbow patting myself on the back. But we literally live college football 24/7, 365, right? I mean, that's it's at least I live in a college town, right? My family's being raised in a college town where college football is king. College softball a close second. But college football is king. And it's interesting because we're always going to be talking about it. If a Cincinnati gets left out, this suddenly goes from just a handful of talking heads and sports people that don't always pay attention to the college ranks as much as they should or want to. All of a sudden, Rich, you're looking at something that the I don't know if anyone watches Good Morning America, but the Good Morning America is the today, the Fox. Everyone's going to be talking about this undefeated team that got left out of the playoffs. I hadn't thought of it that way. Because many people would say almost arrogantly, well, they don't care. You know, the playoff committee doesn't care if you're upset about it. I would disagree. I think that it could end up being the kind of PR thing that would force them to say, all right, listen, we know everybody's mad about the way the OU Texas move to the SEC went down. And everyone's trying to prove a point by saying we don't want a 12-team playoff or we need to explore all our options, right? If you have a storyline about a team that owns a win over Notre Dame, another one-loss team, and their only loss is to the Bearcats, and they get left out, Rich, we've got storylines for years and almost an urgency like we've never seen to amp up the number of teams in the playoffs to 12 sooner rather than later. I agree 100%.
Yep, and you know, I remember when UCF was all the buzz, and they were making their argument, and they had the ring stamp that they were national champs.
Sure.
They didn't get near the top four. You know what I mean? They didn't even sniff the top four out of the America. You know, and is that their fault? No. Is it the committee's fault? Maybe. But the fact of the matter is the Bearcats are there. You know, the Knights never got even close. You know, it's just one of those things where it's happened now. We've seen it. A group of five team with 2 weeks to spare in the college football season has crested the four spot. And so here we are. The argument's right in front of all of our eyes. If they get left out, it just makes the strongest possible case. And so while I'd rather it be fair, I also would want expansion more than fairness, expansion overall before anything else, instead of fairness in the short term. So if that is the fastest route to get to a 12-team postseason or whatever, expanded beyond four, you got to crack some eggs to make an omelet. And I'm okay with the Bearcats, you know, having their egg cracked.
What if you asked this question earlier of Pete Fiutek, and it's Fox Sports Radio, Jason Smith Show, Mike Harmon. They're out tonight enjoying the Thanksgiving holiday with Rich Ohrenberger. I'm Chris Plank. We're talking the college football playoff rankings, all in on the NFL in our next segment and the TV ratings for the Raiders Cowboys game in a bit. But you asked Pete Fiutek this, and I have it scribbled down to ask you, so let's do it now. What if Cincinnati does win the national championship? You know, what if they go to the playoffs and they win a game? Right, which is something that, I mean, I'm saying this and it pains me to say it, Big 12 hasn't done it.
Right.
Oklahoma hasn't done it.
Right.
What if they get and they're playing for the national championship this year? They've got the players. They've got the dudes that can get it done.
So that means they're most likely going to have to beat Georgia, right?
Right.
Which doesn't seem likely, but if. Right, because it's football and it can happen. If they beat Georgia, this is the other part of this argument. So if Cincinnati gets left out as a 13-0 team with a win over Notre Dame and conference champions and they're jumped by a one-loss team, well, then you got a really strong argument for expansion. If they stay in at four and then they win the national championship, then you've got an even better argument for expansion because that means teams in the past and the very recent past have been left out in the cold and they could have very easily brought home the nation's title to their town, whether that be, you know, you name it, Florida, Central Florida.
2008 Utah.
Exactly right, 2008. It gives opportunity to teams that may have had that ugly loss that they shouldn't have suffered early in the season, but they rebounded and did incredibly well. But the committee just couldn't get over that loss to, you know, Team X, because it was, oh, yeah, how do you lose to a Fresno State? How dare you lose to Georgia Southern? Are you kidding me? You know, who cares if your quarterback was injured that game? We don't care. You can't do it. Well, we were undefeated the rest of the way. It doesn't matter. You're out. You're seventh. You're going to go play in the, you know, the Peach Schnapps Bowl. Get lost.
Ooh, no, Peach Schnapps.
Yeah. Now you get an opportunity to see how it plays out in a larger expanse. So if Cincinnati's in, I'm hoping for chaos. I'm hoping the Bearcats take home a title.
You know what's kind of wild is I found, and I know we got to take a break, but the one thing that Cincinnati has that none of these teams had before, well, A, we've got a four-team playoff, you know, and in a lot of, like the Urban Meyer 2004 Utah team, right? The one that opened up with a win over Texas A&M and won the, I think it was the Fiesta Bowl over Pitt, right? That was two teams in the BCS, right? Now you're looking at four and potentially 12, right? You're getting to that point.
Yeah, yeah.
2009 Boise, right? That finished 14-0 that year. We don't have to talk about the how, you know, they, oh, no, I'm sorry. 2009 wasn't the Statue of Liberty play. That was 06. But still, I mean, they have a win over the Oregon team. Remember the LeGarrette Blount
punch?
That's
right. Yep, yep.
Right. But unfortunately, Oregon didn't end up being all that great this season. 2017 UCF in the four-team playoff era had a win that we thought was okay at Maryland, but then it ended up and it was Maryland. The win over Notre Dame is something that no group of five team has – did I say Maryland? I'm sorry. The win over Notre Dame that Cincinnati has, Rich, it's something that none of these teams have had heading into a playoff situation or even the BCS like this. So I'm telling you, I think it's going to be fascinating to see what kind of role the win over Notre Dame plays. And then you're right. If they don't get in, it's a case for playoff expansion. If they do get in and win it, I mean, that case is even louder, right? Yep. And you open all kinds of doors on that front. I love it. I hadn't thought about it that way. That's a great angle on this. I am now rooting for chaos if Cincinnati makes a four-team playoff. All right, hey, listen. When we come back, some incredible numbers from Thursday night football between the Cowboys and the Raiders. In fact, it was record-setting. We'll give you the details next right here on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, a lot of NFL to talk about here on Fox Sports Radio. No one better to do it with than Rich Ohrenberger. I'm Chris Plank, in for Jason and Mike on Fox Sports Radio. This college basketball game, though, is pretty bananas right now. 4:05 to go. Duke leads Gonzaga 75-73. I don't think anyone's sitting down right now. This has been a fun game to watch as Gonzaga looks to tie it up. And, oh, they missed a bunny. So, 75-73, Duke leads. I want to talk real quick while we follow this, some NFL, Rich. And not necessarily looking ahead, but looking back real quick. You know, the Cowboys upset with the officiating. But Jerry Jones said something that ended up being just dead on, you know what, accurate. And he said he thought it was going to be the highest rated game that the NFL had seen in a long time. Well, according to what CBS Sports PR threw out today, the NFL and CBS, Las Vegas, Dallas, the Thanksgiving Day game, delivered an estimated audience, Rich, of 38.5 million viewers. Million. It's the most watched regular season game on any network since 1991. It's up 26% from last year's game window, and it was the most streamed NFL regular season game ever. By the way, I was streaming it, and Paramount Plus, awesome, right? Congratulations that you have a streaming service. My stream was a good 25 minutes behind the game.
Oh, wow.
It was in Twitter would have something. I'm like, wait, So I literally just had to finally watch it on my phone. But that's big time, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it showed Andrew Marchand, who covers the media beat for the New York Post, he tweeted a note that Andrew Brandt threw out, and I threw it to you guys pre-show. The NFL just re-upped with Fox, ESPN, NBC, CBS, and Amazon for $110 billion over 12 years. And based on some of the numbers you're seeing, Andrew Brandt added, they may end up looking like good deals for the networks. Andrew Marchand, I mentioned him because he retweeted it into my timeline, and he said the NFL can actually opt out after 7 years.
Yes.
Now, again, I know that's looking kind of far down the line. You never know what could happen, but do you see anything slowing down this NFL popularity train?
No, I don't. And you know what's crazy about that number? You know, damn near 35 million people.
Crazy.
Watching this game. I mean, if you compare that to the number, and I'm talking about the cumulative number of people who watched the NBA Finals between the Bucks and the Suns. I mean, it's close. I mean, they get lapped if you take all six games. But you're talking about, you know, cumulatively over six games, 60 million people tuning in. Over six games, six separate games. You got there halfway there in one game, one regular season game, by the way, to a team that was on a three-game losing streak and a Cowboys team that's been roughed up lately. So, I mean, it's just unbelievable the media juggernaut that the NFL has created. Oh, by the way, the game six where the Braves won their first World Series since the 90s, only 14.3 million people tuned in for that one. So the World Series, the determining game of the World Series this past World Series was lapped by Raiders Dallas on Thanksgiving Day. It's just a juggernaut. I mean, they're printing money in the NFL. At this point, it's the golden goose. There's never been a television product this strong in the history of television, and it just keeps marching forward year after year after year. They've got the best gambling component alongside it, and it's only going to get stronger. You're going to see apps once sports betting is legalized in every state that there's an NFL team. You're going to start seeing these apps churning out in-game props at an alarming rate. The best fantasy football component, where literally I'm in a league with buddies, and then also my mom. And also our 6-year-old neighbor who's a woman. Yeah, I mean, like, it doesn't matter, old or young, woman or man. Everybody's invited under the tent that is the NFL now. They've created this circus that everybody wants to see.
I love it. I love it. And, you know, I get it. Jerry Jones was right in one front. Now, I was very happy with the outcome of the game. I don't care how we got there. I don't care that 35 million people were watching. I care that the Raiders won the game. But Jerry Jones was right. Okay, you have 34.8 million. Is it bad when you have a game? Now, again, dramatic. You had wild plays. You had three different tries. The game-winning field goal, I think it was actually almost four because dude kept jumping off sides. But it's, I ask, is there anything that can slow it down? But is a game like that, Rich, is it good for the NFL?
A game like that, well, certainly it's good for the NFL.
Because the Cowboys are playing, right?
Yeah, of course. The Cowboys are involved and they're quote-unquote America's team. I guess the only point that Jerry Jones was making is how the game was decided. You know, this idea that the amount of defensive pass interference calls that were flagged, you know, he called it throw-up ball because he didn't like how it was being officiated. The 14 penalties for 110 yards against the Raiders. The 14 penalties for 166 yards against the Cowboys. It's ugly. But at the same token, it's doing business the way business is being done, and that's a poor job by both defensive coordinators, by both teams' defenses overall, not adjusting their playing style to how the game was being officiated. It was no secret. They were going to call tight on the PI, and you saw that in the first half. It was consistent in the second half. The only times I really have a problem with officiating is when it's It's bizarrely over officiated, which I wouldn't say this game was, or it's inconsistent. And so I don't have a huge problem with it. I understand maybe the complaints in overtime. You want to allow certain things to fly because you're into, you know, extra time and you'd rather the players decide the game rather than the officials. But I think it just sounded like belly aching after the game, frankly, from Jerry Jones.
I was here for it. I was I'm very happy with the way things went. Speaking of Power Five, and you know, I've got to kick off hour number four. I mean, DeSager is going to go all in coming up next with us. But to kick off hour number four, I've got all these highlights that we're going to share from the games today, including a game in Nebraska today that it makes no sense, and it kind of even adds to a season that's made no sense for the Nebraska Cornhuskers. With Rich Ohrenberger, I'm Chris Plank, in for Jason and Mike on Fox Sports Radio. And we're college football guys. So this college football note is crazy. Nebraska, the Cornhuskers, the mighty Cornhuskers, they become the first team in college football history to lose 9 games by single-digit margins in the same season.
Wow.
They went 1-8 in the Big Ten, and their combined scoring margin in those games was 0. They lost 8 games by a combined 49 points, and then they beat Northwestern by 49 points. So 0. It made their scoring margin 0.0, essentially.
You know, I don't want to make a sweeping judgment here. I don't want to overgeneralize here.
Go ahead.
But by and large, when you see a team that consistently loses close games, it is coaching. It is a failure to communicate and emphasize the importance of situational football, doing the right things at the right time when they matter the most. And Scott Frost, I mean, look, there's a case to be made against this guy as the future head coach of this program. I just, that's a tough hill to climb. That's a tough pill to swallow if you're the athletic director. If you're a player on that team and you're understanding, like, well, we're doing everything right, or we're trying our hardest, it just falls apart at the end and you blame yourself. Well, from the outside perspective, no, I mean, like, yes, the players got to go and win football games, but they also have to be, they have to have that awareness of situational football. And in the NFL, there's a lot more, I guess the leashes are a lot shorter on coaches who don't get that right. And they get gone a lot faster than at the college ranks. But there's only so much more of that Husker fans are going to tolerate.
He's getting another year. I hope it's not a year like Clay Helton had, right? Because if you're going to fire a guy after 2 games, why the hell did you bring him back to begin with? But wild note for Nebraska this year. And Husker fans, you remain just the best. They sold that place out today. It was packed, even for a 3-8 football team that finishes the year 3-9. More college football coming up in a bit. But when we come back, we got a full week in the NFL to preview, and Steve DeSager with some news and notes as we roll on a Friday night on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Nebraska, after a gain of 3, will punt it away. Oh, the Hawks get to it. The Hawks block it. And Iowa has it. Touchdown. Touchdown, Iowa. Oh, my goodness. What a play.
Look at you. Look at you, Iowa Sam.
Iowa.
Pitiful. Pitiful self-promotion from our resident Hawkeye.
10-2, somehow, some way.
Not bad, Gerdoff, on the Learfield Radio Network for the Iowa Hawkeyes. Helped lead Iowa to a comeback win over Nebraska, which is Steve DeSager. As Steve joins us to get us caught up on everything that we've missed out on in the world of sports for our last segment in Hour 3. Apparently, DeSager also ended up, costing Charles Barkley a little extra money.
Amazing. Money was involved with Barkley and golf? What is going on here?
Yeah, that was a great line. What did he say? I'll give you 20 grand or something if you make this. And DeChambeau goes, only 20 grand? He goes, what'd you lose at the tables? And Charles Barkley goes, no, Nebraska blew it in the second half. It's just fantastic.
It's like the line from Casablanca. I'm shocked that gambling is going on here. Yeah, with Barkley, sure.
That's awesome.
By the way, I did read that Bryson DeChambeau did not win a single hole at that thing that Barkley was helping announce, if you can call it that, the golf, the match in Vegas today. Brooks Koepka, the winner against the rival. And the late NBA game, by the way, Sacramento has tied it up against the Lakers with 20 seconds left.
Great.
It's 100-100.
Wow.
And the Lakers are 10-10 this season. 10-10. And yes, it's a final in college hoops. Number 5 Duke beats number 1 Gonzaga, 84-81.
Great game. That was a great game to watch.
It was. And the late game is in Anaheim. Number 24 USC leading San Diego State, 32-17 early in the second half. You know, in recent years, the Aztecs basketball offense has been kind of like the Aztecs football offense. And yet you get to the end of the game, my goodness, they won again. It's just happening throughout that athletic department. It's kind of an amazing thing to see. You mentioned earlier in the show, San Diego State is 11-1 this year.
Yeah.
And this was yet another game today where, oh boy, this offense is going to struggle today. Later that same day, another W. What is going on here? For those who didn't hear this week, the list of semifinalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame came out. This is the semifinalist list. There's 25 guys on it, but first-year eligibles include wide receivers Andre Johnson, Steve Smith, Anquan Boldin. Also on the list, Devin Hester, Eddie George, and others for the Hall. The 15 finalists will be revealed in January. The Class of 2022 announcement comes up Super Bowl week, of course, during the NFL Honors. And this time, with the Rams' new stadium hosting the Super Bowl, it's not going to be the night before in L.A. They're actually going to hold it at the theater that's at the stadium complex on the Thursday night with live TV nationally for the NFL Honors, when we find out Rookie of the Year, MVP, and the rest, in addition to the whole list. If you've seen that translucent roof they have where the sun can shine through onto the field at the Rams and Chargers home games, that cover goes over not only field, but then the standing room only plaza, and it ends at this theater. To call it next door, it's even closer than that. This YouTube theater is going to host the NFL Honors literally at the site of the Super Bowl. And right around the corner from that, just behind the press box, is the new building for the NFL Network. All of that is part of the huge complex that Stan Kroenke has built on that property. It's going to be a hotel eventually as well, and some residences and retail. I mean, it's just, when people talk about, $4 billion for a stadium, no, it's for the whole thing, believe it or not. It's just an enormous play. And then at one end of the block is the Forum, where the Lakers used to play, and at the other end of the block is where the Clippers owner is going to build his arena. But where you were for San Diego State, that soccer stadium for the LA Galaxy, where the Chargers started in LA for 3 seasons, 25,000 seat venue. That's going to be an Olympic venue when LA hosts the games in 2028. Olympic rugby is going to be on that football field, and the field hockey is going to be right next door, and there's a tennis stadium right behind the end zone of the football field to the right, and Olympic tennis is going to be there. And the Rams Stadium is going to be hosting the opening ceremonies. And if you've seen on some of the shots of the TV coverage from that stadium, there's a lake right outside the stadium. It makes for a great shot. That's going to be an Olympic venue as well. They're going to build stands, temporary stands there for the Olympics, and have the archery competition just outside the Rams Stadium, shooting arrows over the water to the target. So it's just going to be an amazing complex.
Fancy.
A lot going on there in Inglewood, California. Well, a week from Monday, the Buffalo Bills at 7-4 will host the Patriots at 7-4. Bills defensive back Tre'Davious White is out for the season. He tore an ACL last night. White was first team All-Pro a couple years ago. ago. This weekend, Titans wide receiver A.J. Brown out for the Sunday game at New England. Chest injury. He did not practice all week. We saw Ezekiel Elliott not always playing for Dallas yesterday. The running back is dealing with a bone bruise in his knee, according to NFL Network. Dallas will play at New Orleans Thursday night on Fox TV. DeAndre Swift, Lions running back, was hurt yesterday. He is reportedly considered day-to-day with a shoulder injury. The Packers say quarterback Aaron Rodgers will play this weekend in the cold despite not practicing again today. Broken toe, the problem. Green Bay will host the Rams this Sunday on Fox TV, and the game on Fox is tomorrow. Number 2 Ohio State at number 5 Michigan, noon Eastern time. Update: Lakers-Sacramento going to overtime, tied at 100.
Things are not going well with the Lakers. I don't know if you guys are aware of that or not, but that's my NBA analysis.
That's what we've heard. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here for you. All right, listen, we got to get serious about this college slate tomorrow and the NFL games on Sunday. So we'll do it to kick off our final hour. And for Jason Smith and Mike Harmon, he's Rich Hornberger. I'm Chris Plank. This is Fox Sports Radio.